this word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best. But we'll understand it better by and by. We'll sing in by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home, and we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. We're singing by and by. Oh, when the morning comes, when it's all the saints of God's a gathering, and we will tell the story how we overcome, and we will understand it better by and by.
Amen. Good evening. How we feeling? You know, I'm feeling pretty good. We had a good day of worship so far. Had a good Bible study, a good morning worship, and hopefully we can continue this evening. You know, I feel pretty good because every time that it's time for me to preach, it seems that in the morning, a good sermon already been taught. So it kind of just encourages me to do my best when I have to preach. You know, it started back with Brother Manzo Jones, I think on November 29th, the last time he preached. He preached Winning Over Worry. Then Brother John Bush preached Lessons from the Ark. And today, Brother Michael Dow enlightened us with Stormproof Religion. You know, God has been good to us once again by allowing us to come back together, where we can send praises and honor up to him. And I hope that all of us been enjoying this holiday season. You know, visiting family, time off from work, amen, amen. And eating good food, amen, amen, amen. Amen. All right. But even though the holiday that we know it as Christmas is celebrated by the world as Jesus' birthday, we know different. And the world puts a whole lot of emphasis on this particular day as being special. That's good. That's notable. But I'm here to tell you that all days are special, amen. Because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice to be remembered every day, and not just this one day out of the year. Furthermore, we ask that you continue to pray for Brother Jones, as well as Brother Daniel, and all of our members who are going through difficult times. We just pray that they heal fully, that they are comforted, and when it's time permits, for them to be once again with us. You know, I just talked to Brother Jones. And I didn't see him, and we was talking. He was wanting to call and let him know that he's not going to be here. And I was joking with him. I said, you know, your wife gonna make you stay home. You know, he was trying to joke a little bit, but we just want him to take his time. So he can, because once he's up and gone, she know he's gonna be full steam ahead. Now to our visitors, we like to let you know that you are a special guest here. And we're just glad you decided to worship here with us this evening. Once more, if you're not a part of the Lord's church, we just hope that something might be said tonight to make you ask the question, why you are not? But more seriously, ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to the scripture passage that was read by Brother Eric Odie. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The Bible says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, am I not of the body?' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not the eye, am I not of the body?' is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him." You know, I'd like to talk to you this evening with the subject entitled, "We Are One Body, Yet We Are Many Members." You know, in this passage, we are reminded of several things that we should always keep in mind. The Lord's church is said to be one body, despite how our religious neighbors may feel. Some religious folks say that God has many churches, or that it's too many churches from him to only come back for one. Some use the script that they find in John 15 and 5, which says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." But those religious folks fail to realize that the branches don't represent individual churches or denominations. The branches represent individual members of Jesus Christ. The Lord only has one church or body. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus confirms his church. He says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it." Church, being singular, meaning one. Also, to help validate this truth about the oneness of Christ, we need to listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 10, where he declares the oneness of Christ, speaking against division. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak the same thing, that there are no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brother, by them which are in the house of Chloe, that there are some contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you that saith, 'I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ,' is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" You know, all of these questions here can be answered with the simple word, no. No, Christ is not divided. No, Paul or no other man was crucified for us. And no, we were not baptized in the name of Paul for the remission of our sins. You know, when looking clearly into the scriptures, the Lord only has one church, one body that he died for. But even though there is only one body,
It consists of many members. Every member is important to the function or the overall health of the body. So tonight, as we go through our lesson, I want each of us to understand our role and understand how important that all of us are to the overall health of the body. In our scripture passage, verses 12 through 14, Paul shows how the body of Christ is united. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For by the body is not one member, but many." Church, we are all part of God's family. All members of the body had to believe the same thing, that Jesus came, died, and rose early one Sunday morning. All members of the body had to confess the same statement before men, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. All members of the body had to go down into the water for the remission of our sins. Then God added us to his family. We all entered the body, the church, the same way. No matter what religious background you was, or what side of track that you came up from, those things just don't matter with God. No matter if you were a jailbird or never laid a foot behind bars, those things just don't matter with God. The only thing that matters is that you heard the word, that you believed the word, and that you obeyed the word, amen. I'm so glad that God looks on the inside and not on the outside as men do, allowing us to change our lives for the better and becoming a part of his glorious body. We are one body, yet we are many members. In verses 15 through 17, we find how important that every member is to the body. The Bible says, "If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? For the whole were hearing, where would the smelling?" Heart Street, there's a lesson here. We need to understand that all of us that are of the body play an important role to the overall health of the church. Amen. Just because you are not an elder, does that mean you are not of the body? Just because you are not a deacon, does that mean that you are not of the body? You know, everybody can't be elders, deacons, or even preachers, but we all can do our part, amen. Just because you sit in the back of the church doesn't mean that you're any less important than the ones that sit on the front pew, amen. Just because you can't sing as well as others doesn't mean that you are any less important than the one that sound like songbirds. Just because that you don't stand before this crowd conducting worship service doesn't mean that you are any less important than the ones that lead songs, pray around the table, take up the collection, or even stand in the pulpit. We all are important and have roles that are very vital to the overall health of the church, amen. We must remember that we all have talents that we have received from God. And yes, some of us have more than others, but we all at least have one. And God expects us to use that one. This kind of reminds me of the example of Brother John Bush used a couple weeks ago about the snail and the cheetah. Some of us are cheetahs with tremendous ability and talents. But the question is, are you using it for the furthering of the kingdom? Some of us are like the snail, snailing along at a snail's pace, knowing that we can be doing better or more for the Lord. God has given us all some measure of talent and ability. And if we were just using more, then the church could strive to its full potential. We are one body, yet we are many members. In verse 18, we see how God, which is the head of the body, has set us according to his purpose. The Bible says, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Church, we have to understand that God knows each and every one of us. He knows our abilities because he gave them to us. Like I said before, everybody can't be a preacher, but you can share God's word, can't you? Everyone can't be a deacon, but you can be a servant for the Lord. And even if you can't conduct an open Bible study, you can help set one up, amen. You know, this kind of reminds me of the joke that Brother Jones will use every now and then about the young man who couldn't read so well, Brother Brown. He couldn't read so well, and he felt real timid, Cliff, if he had to read or speak in front of the congregation. But one day, a man burst into worship service, disrupting the service, coming down the aisle, asking to speak to the elders or the preachers. The young man who couldn't read so well slowly got up, went over to the man who was causing all the ruckus, grabbed him by his coat and his breeches, and threw him out the front door. The young man came back in, said to the elders, "Now, I might can't read so well, but I can cast out devils, amen." And I said that to say this: by being a part of the body, we all have to contribute to the cause. And if your talent is casting out devils, make sure you do it to the best of your ability, amen. Now, as we come to a close, we must keep in mind that we are a spiritual family. We should treat each other with love, but just like family, we also should hold each other accountable, shouldn't we? When we know we can be doing better. In order for the body of Christ to prosper as God wants it to, we need to start here first on Hart Street. As we move forward into 2010, if we see it, I'd like to challenge all of us to do better by our attendance, to do better by our commitment to God, to do better when it comes to loving one another. Because we are one body, yet we are many members. Now, if you are not a part of this one body in which we've been reading about tonight, I recommend that you become a part of it, because that's the one that God's coming back for. There are 5 steps that one must take to become a part of the Lord's body. The first thing is that you must hear the good news. And we all know the good news, but if you don't know it, I'm going to tell you right now. The fact is that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, came down to this low and sin-cursed world, died on the cross for you, and he died for me. But the good news is that he didn't stay there. All right. He was rose on the 3rd day for our justification. Amen. That's the good news. The second thing that one must do is must believe that good news. Why must I believe it, Brother Davis? Because John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The third step is that one must repent. That's where the rubber meets the road sometimes. It's hard to change our habits. But in order to please God, we got to do what we got to do, amen. Repentance simply means to turn away from things that you know to be wrong. We got to give them up, got to let them go, and we got to turn them loose. Because Luke chapter 13, and verses 3, tells us, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The fourth step is that you must confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart. If you say you believe in Jesus Christ, why not stand up before this audience and tell them with your mouth what you believe in your heart? The last step is that you must go down in the watery grave of baptism. Why must I go down in the watery grave of baptism? For to wash away your dirty sins, amen. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As well, if you are already a part of the body, but you feel that you are at a gift of distance from God, why not restore your life tonight? Also, if you need prayer, we ask that you come. We'll pray with you and for you. Sometimes we need the prayers of the saints to help us along our week, amen. There's nothing wrong with that. If you find yourself in either of these categories, we're going to ask that you come as together we stand and sing the Lord's invitation song.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace, in his power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood? In the blood? In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood?
Two precious souls. They are already a part of the body. We're going to let them have a chance to say what's on their heart. We're going to start with Sister Graham.
Church, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory. My commitment to the Lord has not been what it should be. I want 2010 to be a better year for me, especially on my job. Just pray for me because it's very hard. It's going to be a very hard morning tomorrow, and I already know it will be. Just please pray for me. I just want next year to be a much better year and to get focused on what I need to do with the Lord.
Church, if you would, I would like to ask you to pray on behalf of my sister, Anna Johnson, who lives in Tullahoma, Tennessee. I received a call a short while ago that she was rushed to the emergency room. I don't know the status, but if you would, I would appreciate your prayers on her behalf. Anna Johnson, she's had some complications due to kidney issues, and we just trust and pray God will keep her in his grace.
Amen. We're going to ask Brother Waller, if he would, get prayer on behalf of both of those members.
Father in heaven, we thank you once again for blessing us to be here tonight to hear this wonderful sermon by our brother. I pray that you continue to bless him, to continue to preach your word. Now we want to pray for those who came forward, Sister Graham. She wanted to be a better Christian in 2010, something that all of us should want to be. She asked for forgiveness of sins, and Lord, you said we confess our sins. You is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we ask you to forgive her of any sin or sins she might have committed. And we just pray that you be with her at work. She says she have sometimes have a difficult time at work. But we know that if she look unto you and let you guide her, that everything will go well. She will be able to deal with the problems that she will be dealing with at work. So we just pray that you be with her and put her in your hands and just guide and direct her to be a better Christian in 2010 than she had been in 2009. And Brother Reese, we pray for his sister, Anna Johnson, who was rushed to the emergency. And we just pray that you be with her. You know her situation, but we also put her in your hands. For Lord, we know that you can do all things. Be with the doctors, be with the nurses, all of those who will be tending to her. And we just pray whatever illness she might be suffering from, we just pray that you will heal her completely. We know, Lord, that you can do it. And we just pray that you would continue to be with all of us. Continue to forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. We thank you, Lord, for your patience, your long suffering, whereby you forgive us over and over and over again. And we just pray that you will continue to do that. Continue to bless us here at Hart Street. Be with those on our sick and shut-in list. Continue to bless all of us. And in the end, Lord, we just pray that you will save us. In Jesus' name we do pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen.